Bloodlines of Illuminati, Part 1. The Astor Family. The original founder of the Astor fortune was John Jacob Astor, 1763-1884. John Jacob Astor was born in Waldorf, Duchy of Baden, Germany, from a Jewish bloodline. The Jewish origins have been hidden, and quite a number of various ideas of the Astors' heritage have been put into circulation by the Astors. John Jacob Astor was a butcher in Waldorf. In 1784, he came to America after a stopover in London, England. Although the story is that he came to America penniless, and that may be true, he soon joined the Masonic Lodge, and within 2 to 3 years had become the master of the Holland Lodge No. 8 in New York City. This Holland Lodge is a prominent lodge in that many of its members have good connections to the Illuminati elite. An example of just one Lodge No. 8 member is Archibald Russell, 1811-1871, whose father was president of a real hotbed of Illuminati action for many years, the Royal Society of Edinburgh. By 1788, Astor was a master of Masonic Lodge No. 8. This is rather interesting considering Astor could not speak English when he arrived in America, and supposedly was very poor. John Jacob Astor was always very famous for being cold-hearted, antisocial, a man who didn't have charm, wit, or grace. This quote comes even from a relative of the DuPont family who wrote a sympathetic biography entitled The Astor Family. If this man lacked social graces and was so cold, and was so poor during his first years in the U.S., why did he rise to such prominence in Freemasonry? Certainly not because of his social graces. For instance, one time later in life at a meal given for elites, when his hands got dirty at the table, he reached over and used the shirt of the man beside him to wipe his hands. The original financial break came by carrying out a series of shady and crooked real estate deals in the New York City area. The next break came when two men who are now known to have been in the Illuminati gave John Jacob Astor a special government privilege. The two men were Press Jefferson and Secretary Gallatin, both Illuminati members. The United States government had placed an embargo on all U.S. ships from sailing with goods in 1807. But Astor got special permission from these two men for his ship to sail with its cargo. His ship sailed and made close to a $200,000 profit in that day's money. Astor strangely profited greatly from the War of 1812, which crippled almost all the other American shippers. Astor also worked together with George Clinton, another member of the Illuminati, on land deals. Even at that period in history, British intelligence worked for the Committee of 300 and for the 13 top families. It is interesting then that John Coleman, who had access as an intelligence agent to secret documents, discovered that the original John Jacob Astor was also a British secret agent. The 13 families have very intimate roles with the American and British intelligence cults. Prior to 1817, John Jacob Astor entered into the fur trade and remained the biggest player in the fur trade until he got out of it in 1834. Over the years, he had managed to build up a monopoly. How he managed to push everyone else out is a good question. Bear in mind, white people had been trapping furs in the New World for several centuries, and the Indians for who knows how long. Then this guy Astor comes along and in a few years totally owns the whole industry. Again, this could only have happened because the occult power of this Astor family gave them the right. Obviously, others in the Committee of 300 had to step aside. If his position in the hierarchy had not given Astor the right, believe me, the other families that originally controlled the fur trade would have gotten rid of Astor. One result of his fur company was that Astoria, Oregon was created. Today, perhaps in honor of the family that originally took interest in it, Astoria is a real hotbed for the secret satanic covens in Oregon. John Jacob Astor did have a few helpful connections. Three of his relatives were captains on clipper ships. He had connections in London to the Backhouse family. He married a Todd, a family frequently associated with Satanism. His wife, a Todd, was also connected to the influential Brevoort family. And finally, for some reason, John Jacob Astor was also on good relations with the politicians of the day, perhaps because most of them were Freemasons too. For a few years, John Jacob Astor had participated in the opium trade, but in 1818 he publicly quit running opium to China. J. John Coleman, in his good book The Conspirators' Hierarchy, The Story of the Committee of 300, page 131, notes, John Jacob Astor made a huge fortune out of the China opium trade. It was the Committee of 300 who chose who would be allowed to participate in the fabulously lucrative China opium trade, through its monopolistic BIC, and the beneficiaries of their largesse remained forever wedded to the Committee of 300. Interestingly, another top 13 family, the Russells, was also one of the lucky ones to get a slice of the China opium trade. It is clear repeatedly from history that Astor was privy to inside information in the government, and maintained his own courier system. John Jacob Astor bought up large amounts of land in New York, which land greatly increased in value. The financial panic of 1837 allowed him to foreclose on a large number of mortgages. John Jacob Astor's wealth continued to skyrocket. As one biography said, when it came to a question of principle versus profit, Astor was a practical man. Put simply, he had no scruples. Astor had a reputation for being a ruthless landlord. He also had the reputation of not paying his legitimate debts. Astor became a banker, and sat on the board of five directors of the new national bank that Hamilton created for the U.S. government called the Bank of the United States. Astor owned a large block of the stock of the Bank of the United States. Astor also was fairly active during his life as a Freemason, holding several more key positions in the secret lodge life. John Jacob was the richest man in the United States. Note this reference. Myers, Gustavus. History of the Great American Fortunes. London, Stationers Hall, 1909, p. 147 said, statistics issued in 1844 of manufacturers in the United States showed a total gross amount of $307,196,844 invested. Astor's wealth, then, was 1/15 of the whole amount invested throughout the territory of the United States. Is having 1/15 of all of what American money is invested not rich? John Jacob Astor's descendants had a penchant for secrecy, and set up things to rule from behind the scenes. In contrast to some of the other top families, the Astors preferred not to sit on boards of corporations they controlled. In 1890, a real estate expert calculated the Astors owned 1/20 of New York City real estate. After making their fortune while residing in the New York area, the Astors by and large have all gone to England. They still wield great financial power in the United States through proxies. Forum Magazine, November 1889, commented that authorities estimated the Astors were worth $300,000, but that figure had to be an underestimate. Today, my estimate of the Astors is that they are worth about $40 billion. One of the many foundations that the Astors created was the Vincent Astor Foundation, which is controlled from England by the Astors and has in the range of $100 million tax-exempt dollars. The Vincent Astor Foundation has typically given to Catholic and Episcopalian needs, among other things. They also give money to agencies opposed to private ownership of guns. They give money to NY's public library. Imagine how much influence that gives them, when the library is receiving regular help for general support. A 1971 foundation directory stated that the V. Astor Foundation had its present emphasis on preventing juvenile delinquency. Why don't I trust the Astors in helping out with law enforcement? The William Waldorf Foundation states that its purpose is promotion of mutual understanding and the diffusion of knowledge and culture among the United States and the dominions, colonies, and countries of the British Commonwealth. This sounds very similar to the public statement of purpose that the Secret of Pilgrim SOC has given out to those who need something about them. Assets for this foundation are a mere $64,000. Vincent Astor, now deceased, was a member of 41 private clubs. To give an idea of how much power just one of the many Astor men wield, some of the businesses Vincent was involved include: Director American Express Company DIR, Atlantic Fruit and Sugar Company DIR, Chase Manhattan Bank of the Rockefellers DIR, City and Suburban Homes Company DIR, Classical Cinematograph Corporation DIR, Cuban Dominican Sugar Co. DIR, Great Northern Railroad DIR, Il Central Railroad DIR, Inter Mercantile Marine Co. DIR, National Park Bank of New York DIR New York County Trust Company, DIR Weekly Publications Incorporated, DIR Western Union Telegraph Trustee, New York. Zoological SOC Advisor to Bankers Trust of NA, Member America Museum of Nat History, Member Nat and Stitt. Of SOC Sciences. Notice these last two, like so many elite-controlled organizations, are heavily involved in the spread of the evolution theory. Just like the Rothschilds, DuPonts, and Rockefellers, the Astors always set one of their Astor males as the head of the entire family. This headship is passed down as a birthright within the different branches of the family, just as any king passes on his throne. On the corner of 33rd Street and 5th Avenue, the site later began the site of the Empire State Building. The original Waldorf Astoria Hotel was built by William Waldorf, E.T. Al. The hotel opened in March 1893. It is described as the ultimate in snob appeal. Later, two Astor cousins built the Astoria, another even taller elite hotel in New York, which opened in 1897. Of course, like many of the other elite families, the Astors have their main property to get away and relax. In 1894, John Jacob wrote a novel, A Journey in Other Worlds, where he describes a society which operates on the idea of conserving energy. Strange how the elite likes to promote conservation among us cattle. In the late 1800s, the Illuminati began to reconfigure its outward face. The higher levels started creating innocent-sounding cover organizations to hide their meetings behind. In 1901, the Astors contributed toward the creation of the Pilgrim Society, which was the cover organization for AMR and Britain's Six Degrees Princes of the Illuminati. I believe at least five Astors are now members of the Pilgrim Society. The Pilgrims had recently included David Astor, John Jacob Astor VIII, and William Waldorf Astor III. And during the 1970s, Baron Astor of Hever was the president of the London branch of the Pilgrims. This implies that Astor of Hever was at least the next level up in the chain of command. The Astors also have been very prominent in the group which is Britain's equivalent to the Skull and Bones SOC. In Britain, the Astor, along with about 20 other families, dominate the group, just as certain families like the Whitneys in the U.S. help dominate the Order of Skull and Bones. Again, as was earlier pointed out, the key to understanding Satanism is the bloodlines. In 1910, the muscle and bone branches of the Illuminati reconfigured themselves with the creation of the Round Table Groups in 1910. The Astors were the part of the financial backers behind the Round Table Groups, along with Abe Bailey. Rhodes and Milner were key players in setting up the Society of the Elect, a super-secret top circle of Illuminati. Rhodes Trust, in part helped by the Astor, helps finance the Rhodes Scholarship System. Rhodes, a high-ranking Freemason, wanted the Masonic claptrap as part of these various new groups, but Milner and Brett did away with the Masonic rituals and costumes, etc. In 1919, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, RIIA, was created. And the Astors were the major financial backers of the RIIA, which functions as the Four Degrees cover of the Illuminati. For those who are new to this, the RIIA is the British equivalent to the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, which takes a major role in the policy-making process in the U.S. Waldorf Astoria was appointed to the RIIA. Just above the CFR RIIA are Round Table Groups, which were initially named by Cecil Rhodes as the Association of Helpers. Cecil Rhodes set up the Rhodes Scholarships to recruit and bring top men from several nations to Oxford to be initiated into the Illuminati and to learn about how to bring in a one-world government, so the initial selection into the Rhodes program, IST degree of the Illum, is equivalent to the initiation into the Skull and Bones. In the picture you see how the Cliveden Astors were intimately connected to the Rhodes Scholars. Rhodes Scholars frequently went to the Cliveden estate. By looking at the genealogy chart, you can see how the family in London broke up into two powerful segments. One part centered around the Cliveden estate. Another group became barons, the Astors of Hever, or the Hever Astors for short. William Waldorf Astor owned the Pall Pall Mall Gazette, the Observer, and the Pall Mall Magazine. The London Times was largely controlled by the Astors, and since 1922 they have owned this major source of British news. The DuPonts and the Rockefellers also have some major businesses where they too own blatant large holdings. However, most of the wealth of the 13 top families is hidden so that the ties to who owns it are difficult to track. Hoyt Amidon has been a proxy for Vincent Astor and the other Astors. See membership list of Illuminati in this newsletter. The Astor family also used Owen Lattimore as their proxy for opium trade, who in turn used Laura Spellman, who was funded by the Institute for Pacific Relations IPR. The LPR was the group that supervised the Illuminati's decision to allow Red China to share in the opium trade. The puppet strings behind big world events may not be seen by the public, but if we trace the origins of several big events, we see the Astors helping pull strings. The IPR helped lay the groundwork for the Pearl Harbor attack. The Astors also were behind the appeasement policy in Europe, which allowed Hitler to become a threat. The Astors were also involved in the temperance movement against alcoholic drink, which was begun by the Women's Christian Temperance Union. The temperance movement was an elite-created movement, just like today we have big issues like apartheid, which are made up by them to keep us busy. Joseph Kennedy and Onassis, two other top 13 Illuminati families, got rich off of the temperance movement by bootlegging. So many people have exposed the temperance movement, see occult theocracy, for just one expose of Freemasonry's involvement that it is not pertinent to cover it here. Today's equivalent of the temperance movement is the drug war. Call Jack Astor, one of the world's most powerful men, was among those who went down with the Titanic. To his honor, he didn't have to sacrifice his life, but did. If he had been a scoundrel, he could have chased a woman and her children from some lifeboat. Many sermons have been preached on the significance of the Titanic, and I personally am beginning to feel that God laid it on the hearts of so many of his ministers to understand that the Titanic was a judgment upon the pride of the world. More specifically, it was a warning to the New World Order's elite. Another Illuminati invention was communism. This has been so thoroughly documented, I don't know why I have to state it here, except that there are still people who haven't taken the time to study it out. James II. Billington's book Fire in the Minds of Men, a very scholarly work, and Occult Theocracy are some good starting points to study this. The Fabian Society was also connected to the Illuminati. For instance, Illuminati Prince Professor George Edward Gordon Catlin, Pilgrim SOC member, was a member of the Fabian Society's executive committee. The Fabian logo is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Fabians like H.G. Wells, who wrote so eloquently on the New World Order with such books as The New World Order, A Modern Utopia, The Open Conspiracy Blueprints for a World Revolution, was a wolf in sheep clothing. H.G. Wells made the New World Order something that sounded advantageous to everyone, a utopia of sorts. That is not what it will be. During the 1930s, the Fabian Socialists created the Political and Economic Planning Group, PEP. Mason Viscount Waldorf Astoria was a leader of PEP. A confidential program that the PEP created and implemented through the British government was later described in a book, Principles of Economic Planning, in 1935. The book doesn't explain why its cover has an ostentatious Masonic square and compass displayed on its cover. George Bernard Shaw, who was a communist and Fabian socialist, was the best friend of Lady Nancy Astor, who became the first woman member or parliament. These two spend vast amounts of time together, much more than Nancy did with her husband Waldorf, who she didn't care to be around. Waldorf was the Mason that was mentioned earlier, who helped lead PEP. After Nancy Astor was elected or selected by the elite to be the first lady MP, one of the Russell Lattice soon afterwards also became an MP. Communism pretends it is the enemy of the rich capitalists, but both the rich elite and the communist leaders are committed to wipe out Christianity, to wipe out free trade with monopolies, and to set up an Illuminati one-world government. Do you see they have similar goals? A picture is included of Waldorf and Nancy Astor's visit to Russia during the 1930s. The Astors were not treated like enemies, but like royalty. Can we see how the elite-controlled press have deceived us? Do not trust our Illuminati-controlled elite to protect us from communism, they control communism. Besides socialism, Nancy Astor was a big supporter of Christian Science. Christian Science was a front for witchcraft from its very beginning. For more information on what Christian Science is about, I suggest people study Be Wise as Serpents, Chapter 2.6, The Healing Light. Nancy Astor wrote The Natural History of the Vampire and a book on the early Mason communist Bakunin. She used Grenfell family papers. The Grenfell family were close friends to the Cliveden Astors. David Astor, the Honorable, attended Bilderberger meetings in 1957 and 1966. Alpha Lodge is the lodge in England that is traditionally for royalty. There are other elite lodges too, whether those of the elite can protect themselves from rubbing shoulders with those of less social stature. These are the type of Masonic lodges that the Astors join. In summary, an examination of the Astor family reveals their close connections with the full spectrum of Illuminati activities ranging from Freemasonry, the Illuminati itself, the Pilgrim Society, the Round Tables, Communism, Fabian Socialism, CFR, RIIA, the Bilderbergers, as well as the various politically that is Illuminati-tainted banks such as Chase Manhattan. Ava Alice Muriel Astor was an occultist. She was born in 1902, was pretty but also a very serious woman. She was a very strong-willed person that was able to dominate a person in her presence unless they were also strong-willed. She was into Egyptian magic and believed she was the reincarnation of an Egyptian princess and a disciple of Akhenaten. Alice Astor may have been one of the first people to enter King Tut's tomb, where she got herself a necklace. Aldous Huxley wrote Brave New World as a picture of things that were to come, most people think as expose, but it was really more as a plan or blueprint. Aldous Huxley and Alice did a great deal of occult things together. Their financial power is unchecked. Myers and others have noted the Astors are above the law. The top 13 families don't obey the law, they are the law. The Astors may have Illuminati kings and princes in their ranks, they may have dozens of billions of assets, yet it will all be nothing when they face their creator at judgment. Follow up on the Astors. One of the items that I felt I should have given the readers back in the 1193 issue was the Masonic background of John Jacob Astor 1763-1848. For the record, here is his Masonic involvement: Master of the Holland Lodge No. 8, of N.Y.C-1788. Grand Treasurer of the Grand Lodge of New York 1796-1801, Junior Grand Warden on two occasions 1796 and 1801, Secretary of the Commandery then called encampments. For a busy man, he kept himself busy in his Masonic work.